Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Digital Delusion: How Classroom Technology Harms Our Kids' Learning and How to Help Them Thrive. Again is a nonfiction education and neuroscience book by Jared Cooney Horvath. Drawing on his background as both a classroom educator and a neuroscientist, Horvath examines the widespread use of laptops, tablets, classroom software, and other student-facing digital tools in schools. His central purpose is to question the assumption that more classroom technology automatically produces better learning. Instead, he argues that many digital practices interfere with attention, weaken deep engagement, and reduce the transfer of learning to real-world settings. The book is written as a research-based critique of edtech, but it is also a practical guide for parents, teachers, and school leaders who want to make more careful decisions about when technology helps and when it harms. Rather than rejecting all technology, Horvath focuses on narrowing its use to specific, evidence-based purposes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why classroom screens often weaken attention instead of improving it. A major argument in the book is that screen-based learning fragments attention, which is one of the brain capacities most necessary for sustained learning. Horvath treats attention not as a vague preference for concentration, but as a biological requirement for encoding information, building understanding, and resisting distraction. In his view, devices that give students constant access to multitasking, notifications, and rapid switching make it harder to stay mentally engaged with a lesson long enough for meaningful learning to occur. This matters because classroom learning is not just about exposure to content, it depends on the ability to hold ideas in mind, compare them, and work through difficulty. Horvath uses this point to challenge the common assumption that digital convenience is educationally neutral. The book argues that what feels efficient in the moment often reduces the slower cognitive work that produces durable knowledge. In this sense, technology can create the illusion of productivity while quietly lowering the depth of attention that real learning requires. Secondly, the loss of teacher-student connection in digitally mediated classrooms, Horvath argues that effective learning is not only cognitive but social, and that digital devices can disrupt the human connection between teacher and student. He describes this through the idea of empathetic synchrony, meaning the emotional and relational coordination that helps students feel guided, noticed, and motivated. In a classroom dominated by screens, the teacher may become less visible as a human presence and more like a manager of devices or software. That shift can weaken engagement because students often learn better when they experience direct interaction, immediate feedback, and a shared sense of purpose. The book does not claim that technology eliminates teaching, but it does argue that heavy screen use can reduce the relational qualities that make teaching effective. This is one of the book's more important distinctions from narrower critiques of edtech, because it treats education as a human practice rather than only an information delivery system. Horvath suggests that removing unnecessary technology is partly about restoring the emotional conditions under which students are more willing to persist, ask questions, and take intellectual risks. Thirdly, why digital learning often fails to transfer to real-world understanding. Another central theme is transfer, or the ability to apply knowledge learned in one context to another. Horvath argues that learning on screens often does not transfer well to offline, analog, or more complex situations. A student may perform well inside a digital platform, especially when the task is simplified or highly scaffolded, yet still struggle to use the same skill in a different setting where the support is gone. This is an important critique because many edtech products measure success by in-app performance rather than by genuine mastery. Horvath contends that if a learning tool makes a task feel easier than the real-world version of that task, it may weaken the learner's ability to generalize the skill later. The book uses this idea to explain why digital fluency is not the same as understanding. Being able to click through a lesson, complete an adaptive quiz, or navigate software does not necessarily mean a student can write, reason, calculate, or recall effectively in a different environment. Horvath's emphasis on transfer pushes readers to evaluate technology by what students can do after using it, not only during the activity itself. Fourthly, the book's selective case for narrow, purposeful uses of technology. Although the book is strongly critical of broad classroom digitization, it is not a blanket rejection of all educational technology. Horvath allows for limited use in narrow contexts, where the technology serves a specific instructional purpose that traditional methods cannot easily match. The clearest examples are adaptive practice for foundational skills, targeted remediation, and other highly structured drills where the digital tool directly supports repetition and feedback. This selective position is important because it gives the book a practical rather than purely ideological character. Horvath is not arguing that screens are always harmful. He is arguing that schools often expand them far beyond what is educationally justified. By making this distinction, the book invites readers to ask whether a tool is truly necessary or merely fashionable. That distinction also helps separate meaningful instructional support from routine device use that adds cost, complexity, and distraction without clear benefit. The result is a more disciplined framework for decision-making, one that evaluates technology by its actual cognitive value instead of by marketing claims, administrative convenience, or the appeal of novelty. Lastly, a parent and teacher playbook for pushing back against edtech excess. The final part of the book is not just diagnostic, it is intended as a practical guide for action. Horvath addresses parents, teachers, and school leaders who want to reduce unnecessary screen dependence, but need language and evidence to support that decision. He emphasizes evidence-based teaching methods, human interaction, and productive struggle as the core ingredients of durable learning. The practical implication is that schools should justify technology use with strong independent evidence rather than assuming innovation is enough. This focus makes the book especially useful in policy and school adoption debates, where technology is often introduced through broad promises rather than rigorous proof. Horvath also frames the issue as one of reclaiming educational judgment. Educators should decide when technology is developmentally appropriate instead of letting devices set the terms of instruction. That approach gives the book a strategic function. It does not merely criticize edtech. It equips readers to evaluate it, resist unnecessary adoption, and defend classroom practices that keep learning human, demanding, and transferable. In conclusion, this book is best suited for parents, classroom teachers, school administrators, education researchers, and policymakers who want a serious, evidence-oriented critique of screen-heavy schooling. Readers looking for a balanced but skeptical assessment of edtech will find clear value here, especially if they are trying to distinguish genuine instructional benefit from digital convenience or institutional trendiness. Its main strength is that it combines neuroscience, learning science, and practical classroom judgment without reducing the issue to a simple anti-technology slogan. That makes it stand out from many books in the same area, which often either celebrate educational technology uncritically or argue against it in a more general cultural way. Horvath's book is more specific. It focuses on how technology affects attention, social connection, and transfer, and it uses those mechanisms to judge whether classroom tech is actually worth using. For readers, the benefit is not just a stronger opinion about screens, but a more useful framework for evaluating lessons, policies, and products. It is especially relevant for anyone responsible for choosing what students should use, and when, in the classroom. If you would like to support Jared Cooney Horvath, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.